I hope so. If you didn't, you can raise your hand. We can give you one right now, or you can grab one on the way out the door today. But again, we want to welcome you if you're visiting with us today. So excited to have you here. If you're new, don't worry. I'm still kind of relatively new, so if you don't know me, I don't know you. That's all right. Let's get to know each other. I'd love to see that happen. And by the way, I'll just make that a blanketed statement. I love to go out and sit with people and talk and have coffee, and I even love it if you want to pay for it. So you want to schedule an appointment with me, I'm all open for that. So again, welcome to the Ray Christian Fellowship. We're happy that you're here. And if you're listening online, happy Mother's Day, and thanks for worshiping with us this morning. So I was a little curious about how Mother's Day started, and so I did some digging around. And I don't know if you guys already know this, but the official Mother's Day holiday arose in the 1900s as a result of this lady, Anna Jarvis. I don't have a picture of her. It would be a very old picture if I did. But basically following her mother's death in 1905, she conceived of this idea of Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices of all moms for the sacrifices they made for the children. She's also responsible for the coronation tradition, too. So she started out with white ones, and then we had pink ones here. They just look a little bit prettier and not stale. But it was the white carnation basically symbolized a mother's love. And so she had sent over 100 of these carnations to her church in West Virginia, honoring all the moms. And so over the next few years, churches started celebrating Mother's Day, and with her help, pushing for a Mother's Day official holiday. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially established the second Sunday as Mother's Day for all of the United States. So, but before that, all that, there was this verse in Exodus 20:12 that read, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord has given you." Think about that. It is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it. Honoring your father and your mother so that your days may be long. I've never forgotten that. I always hope that if I get to live a long life, that it will be a good long life. And so I thought, we got to honor mom here. And hopefully that translates into a long life with a lot of good years ahead of me. So today I want to acknowledge all the women of faith in this, because honestly, there are plenty of you guys who have played moms to so many other children other than your own, and some, you know, who have not had children has stood in the gap as a woman of faith. And I got to tell you, I've had so many of those women in my life throughout youth ministries. I've had so many youth leaders, women, who played significant roles in encouraging me to be the man of God. So I thank all the women who have played those roles, and especially my youth pastor's wife. She happened to have a son, Doug, who he and I were about a couple of years apart. We were best friends, and I can't tell you how many times I sat at her table late at night, kitchen tables, where she was cooking us breakfast and talking to us about life and faith. And she was just an example of just a woman of faith, and so I so appreciate her. But I also want to acknowledge this Mother's Day, as it is my first Sunday as a pastor, a lead pastor, to thank my mom, because I wouldn't be standing here without her. I had a mom who sacrificed all the time for me. She was convinced of my trajectory as a pastor, and so she wanted to do whatever she could to make sure I was in Christian education, finding, you know, experiences where I could experience the love and teachings of Jesus. And so she sacrificed, she worked jobs, things like that, just to ensure that I would have a Christian education. And I so much love her for that. I can't thank her enough for all that she did for me. She was always praying for me, always talking to me about Jesus, and she still does that even today. And sometimes I remember it felt like that's all she ever wanted to talk about in life. But you know what? Man, she just really took that idea in Proverbs where it says, train your child in the way he should go. And in later years, he will not depart from it. And man, she just embodied that idea of this responsibility to train me in the ways I should go. And you know, people who know my story, if you don't know my story or my testimony yet, I always get, you know, working with teenagers for 22 years, parents would always say, man, I'm really encouraged by your testimony because look where you ended up. I got to tell you, though, I had a mom that was praying hard all those years because I didn't make it easy for her. And she did everything she could. And so if my mom is listening to the podcast, I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom. Mom, I love you. So today I want to take you into the scriptures here, into 2 Timothy 3. And there's a hidden gem here, I think, that I want to encourage all the women of the church here, all those who have played a faithful role in building God's kingdom. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to stand with me as we read these words here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The words will be on the screen behind me. And so if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along there as well. But let me just pray first, and then we can read this together. God, I thank you for this day. And Lord, as we read your scripture, again, I pray, Lord, that nothing would escape our attention, that for all the things that you are trying to teach us, that our hearts would be attentive to that, and our minds would be listening, and we would have a clear sense of your voice in our life this morning as we read your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So this is probably not the most typical Mother's Day passage you'll hear on a Mother's Day Sunday, but follow me because I think there's some really great stuff in here. So Paul writes, he's writing to a disciple of his, Timothy, and he says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antonia and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You may be seated. So just for a second here, I want to look at who this person Timothy is. He is a disciple of the Apostle Paul. Just a quick history, because he represents a young person, okay, whose life and his trajectory of his life was ministry, all right? So a couple things. Timothy was a young man who began traveling with Paul and saw this when they visited Lystra during his second missionary journey. You read about that in Acts 16. Timothy's mother, we're told from the scripture, was Jewish, but his father was Greek. So he had not been circumcised under the traditions of Jewish family and theology, okay? So when he comes into mentorship with Paul, he submits himself to this circumcision so that he can win more for Christ at a later age, okay? I don't want to even get into all that. But he does it because he wants to be faithful and he really wants to win people to Christ. And what we're told here is that the relationship between Paul and Timothy grew to the extent that Paul referred to him as his young protege, my son in faith, right? So everyone's kind of thinking, this is Mother's Day, why are we talking about the Apostle Paul? But here's the thing. What I want you guys to see this morning, that is before the Apostle Paul's mentorship in Timothy's life was the discipleship of two women in his life. So going back to verses 14, 15, we read this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So the question we got to ask here as we read this is, where did Timothy get his early beginnings discipleship? Who taught him the scriptures? Who was it that invested into his life and poured the truth of God's word into his life and set a firm foundation that Paul is continuing to build upon? And the question, the answer comes in 2 Timothy 1:5. I think there's a little bit of a misprint. It's 1 Timothy, it is 2 Timothy 1:5 here. But look at what he writes here in the chapter, two chapters earlier. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." He's still writing to Timothy. "A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Paul credits these two women, his grandmother and his mother. Now, on Mother's Day, it's easy for us to think about our own children and how our moms have played roles in our lives and things like that. But you also have the grandmother here playing a role. She's invested. Yes, it's her grandson and things like that. But she could be saying, "Well, I'm done. I invested in Eunice. It's your turn to go." But they invest in Timothy's life, in his faith. And so today's instruction in Scripture Day, what we find, what I want to kind of pull out from here this morning from the passage here, is that God has a call on all of you moms. And I mean that to mean any woman of faith who has influenced a young person or a person or that next generation for the kingdom of God. Timothy had a great ministry career, but it started with the work of his grandmother and his mother. And so what I want us to see here, and this is applicable for men in this room here too, but it is Mother's Day, so I'll make my comments pointed to moms. You play a huge role. God has a call on your life to disciple that next generation. And whether you have children or blessed that way or not, again, as I told you, there were plenty of youth leaders, women youth leaders, who poured into my life and weren't my mom. They stood in the gap when my mom couldn't be around. Now, my mom was present a lot. I had the joy of having a mom that was very invested in my life. But she wasn't always with me on my youth trips and things like that. It was the women youth leaders. And so if you have not been blessed with children, don't turn off right now. Because God has a call in your life to invest in the kingdom. The question is, right now for all of us, is who is God calling you to influence and invest in for the kingdom of God? It's a question that we need to grapple with. Lois and Eunice should be an example to encourage all Christian women here, mothers and grandmothers, reminding that the influence you can make and the eternal impact of the lives and future of your children and grandchildren, and even in children you may not even know or be related to. Timothy's success in ministry started with two women who saw an opportunity to help influence the next generation by investing in the life of a young person. I'm standing here in front of you guys because I had plenty of women invest into my future. My mom being primary, but there were a lot of other people who wanted to see me become a godly man. They saw the call on my life, and they got involved. As I said earlier, my mom did all that she could to invest into my life, but she also invested in others. I have three other siblings, and thankfully I can say we're all walking with the Lord, and my mom worked hard at trying to connect us with Jesus. She still is. She's always concerned about, you know, are we going to church, or are we in the Word? All these different things. She's asking us these questions. But I got to tell you, my mom invested beyond just the four of us. She invested in other kids. One situation that is vivid in my mind, across the street was a family. It was a mom, and she had three kids. Her husband had gone to jail. She was living with her father and her mother. The father was an alcoholic. She herself was an alcoholic. And they had violent fights. And my parents would take in those kids. They would run across the street, and my mom loved them like the four of us. She would pour into them and pray for them and hug them and care for them. They weren't her kids, but she did it because she loved them. And she felt this responsibility and this call on her life that to make a difference for the Lord and to show the Lord's love to these kids. And my mom was a youth leader. My dad used to run youth groups at a Presbyterian church that we used to attend at a very young age. And so she would help out, and so she invested in those kids. And she poured into them. And she just did it because she knew that, you know, ultimately, hopefully one of these kids would receive the love of Jesus. And there would be that eternal impact. And so there's this call on you that we see in this passage that helped shape Timothy's life. Who is God calling you to shape for the kingdom of God? What is the legacy that you're building? Real quickly, those three kids, you know, not all of them, I would say, are walking with the Lord. The middle child, though, literally followed after my dad, became a cop, has a family, loves the Lord, goes to the church. He's serving in his church. And I got to believe something that my mom did for that kid translated later on in his life. You just never know. There's a call. But this leads me to my second point here for all of your moms here. And I think you guys know this all too well. It won't be easy. Discipling the next generation will not be easy. Look at this verse here again, the words that we started with. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And it goes on and on and on. This is what you're up against within your own families and within the people that you feel God is calling to help. And what's clear from the scripture here in Timothy is that influence is a two-way street. It's a two-way street. Your efforts to disciple the next generation will be met with opposing ideas and thoughts. And this shouldn't come to a surprise to any of us, because in John 8:44, Jesus taught that our enemy's primary weapon is deception. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to distort the truth and draw people away from the teachings of Jesus. So this is what you're up against. It won't be easy. Our children are growing up in a culture that often bombards them with lies. Lies. I don't have to sell this point too long. All you got to do is look around in the culture and see what the messages are being promoted that are contrary to God's word and the scripture. The words that we read at the beginning here of 2 Timothy 3 are proven true. All we have to do is watch the news. All we have to do is talk to somebody out on the street. It doesn't take much for God's word to be truthful. And we're seeing that in this culture. And as you guys, there's this call to discipleship, that next generation or the person that God's putting on your heart right now. It's not going to be easy. The world is going to clash with God's word. But let me encourage you with this. God has called you to play the long game. He has. He's called you not to give up. It's not for a quick reward or short gain. And I love what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians. And excuse me, sometimes I laugh at things that maybe other people don't find funny. But when I read Paul's word here, he says, if I am to live in flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. But Paul is saying, look, I want to go be with Jesus because I'm done with this. Right? But he says, look, as long as I have breath in my lungs, God has a purpose for my life. And that is to be invested into this world and to disciple people. While you still have breath in your lungs, there is this call that will always be in your life to stay involved, to be in the game, and not for the short run, but for the long run. And I got to believe that my mom probably at times was like, Paul, like, really, how long? I'm done. But my mom also understood, look, while there's breath in my lungs, I'm going to stay plugged in, I'm going to stay invested, I'm going to keep talking, because you never know what's going to happen. And so my encouragement to you, as hard as it might be, don't give up. This call on your life is so important. Don't give up. God has you there for a reason. The second thing that I see in this that I want to encourage you with is the Proverbs 22:6 verse, which says, train a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen to that last part. Even when he's old. A lot of times the fruit of your labor you won't see until later on in life. Think about that. When you think your kids are going crazy and you know you're doing the best you can to show them the love of Jesus, to teach them God's word, things like that, and there just doesn't seem to be this response. Remember, it takes longer for some other kids to mature into their faith. It just does. Some of us know and gravitate to faith right away, and some take a longer time. I took a little bit of a longer time. Man, I gave my mom and dad headaches. If you knew my story, you would think I was heading for prison. I'm standing in front of you, though. God had other plans. But it took me a while to figure it out. And again, I have to believe it's because I had a mom who stayed in there. She didn't give up. She kept praying. She kept fighting for me. She kept fighting for the truth of God's word. Don't give up. Sometimes it takes a while for maturity to kick in. And then the last thing this scripture shows us this morning here that I want to kind of share with you is this idea that the way forward is to stay close to the Lord. For all of us, for moms, the only way you're going to make it is to stay close to the Lord. And we're told here in verse 15 how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures breathed out by God are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped in every good thing. Two things that three verses kind of highlight here for us. Number one, there's no way we're going to survive unless we're plugged into God's word. If we're not familiar with God's voice, we don't stand a chance. We just don't. We won't know the way to salvation. We won't know how to combat the cultural messages of this world. We just won't know. We won't be encouraged. The other thing I see that this teaches us is this again, that our ability to influence others to the kingdom of God depends on not only us being in the scriptures, but getting people into scripture. It's why we have Bible study at 9:30 in the morning. Because we see the value of the scriptures. Not only training us, filling us up, but encouraging us, but part of discipleship is getting others into scripture. We see this in the life of Eunice and Lois, right? Timothy's early foundations came because they got him into the scriptures. They taught him the scriptures. There's no way we will survive unless we connect with God's word. And this is made true in John 15. Look at these two verses here. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is he who bears much fruit. But listen to this last part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Unless we are connected, we cannot do anything. We can't do any of these things that God has called us to do if we don't stay plugged in. So, we're reminded today that life can be messy from the scriptures. Discipleship of another will be hard at times, sometimes with our own children, sometimes with others. But it's so important that we stay plugged in. And so, yes, this is a message to moms, but men in this room, I hope you're hearing this. God has a call in your life. You're not to sit on the sidelines either. You're to get involved and be invested. But in closing today, I want to encourage moms with three things here. before we go. Number one, don't underestimate your influence for the kingdom of God. It may seem like it's a thankless job, but you never know who you're changing for eternally. And it may lead to a whole generation. Don't let this escape you either. Timothy was a pastor of churches. That early investment of his grandmother and his mother and the discipleship of Paul allowed him to have a broader audience to impact for the kingdom. One person's life can be changed, but one person can change a whole bunch of people's lives. Your impact goes beyond just that one person. So you never know. You never know. Don't underestimate your influence. Even if you think like, man, things aren't happening the way you hoped them will. Stay in the game. The other thing too, and I just talked to some of our volunteers here about this, is this. Remember who you serve and why. Because it is a thankless job, it's so important for you to remember that you are serving God and that God has placed this call in your life. If it's for any other reason, I can tell you, you're going to get all bent out of shape. You're going to grow weary. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. Because people just stink sometimes. And so do your kids. Literally. The third thing is this. Know that you're valuable to the Lord. That's one thing that is clear in the scripture here. God has assigned value to your life. He's died for you. He loves you. That's how much you are valuable to him. So with that, I'll just say this. Have your Mother's Day. You guys are doing great work. Don't give up. Your work for the kingdom is so important. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this time that we're going to have in your word. And Lord, I am grateful that your word, you elevate people. You elevate men. You elevate women. That you have a plan and purpose for each of us. And for moms, it's the work of a mother is amazing. The capacity to give the way moms do is unbelievable. And the word here, again, assigns value. I am so grateful for the work of Timothy's grandmother and mother. Because even now, here we are in the scriptures reading about how one man was impacted by two women and how the teachings and what he has learned, it's being preached today. Here we are so many thousand years later. So again, I pray for each mom here that they would feel just a special blessing today, God. That they would just know your presence in a powerful way. That they would feel recharged and re-energized for the work that they do. There's probably some mom or some lady in here who just feels tired right now. It has not been easy, as the word says. Would you meet them where they are, encourage their hearts right now? Help them to know and hear that you are with them, that you know it's hard, but it will be worth it someday. Help them to see the bigger picture when sometimes it's all they can see is the frustration. God, I just thank you for my mom and the investment that she poured into my life. Bless her today, even though we're thousands of miles away. God, I thank you for all women who have stood in the gap, who have invested in somebody for the kingdom of God. Thank you for your words and your encouragement today. We praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.